Okay, we're holding our Chavez on the Bays by the Mishnah. We learned in the previous Mishnah that we said that a woman who has schus, then the punishment of the Mayim Amarim can be suspended for 1, 2, 3 years, and that got us into the whole discussion of what kind of schus and all the discussion from there. So now our Mishnah continues. Rav Shimon Omer, Ein schus to the Mayim Amarim. Rav Shimon says, no, schus does not suspend the punishment of the Mayim Amarim. Because look, if you're going to say that schus is going to suspend that punishment, what's going to happen? Number one, madha after as mayim b'fnei kol anosh mashosis. Number one, you're weakening. Madha is motion diha, which means like a weaker color. You're weakening the power of the mayim amorim in the presence of all women who might drink. We looked at the first product. They sin is supposed to be talking the soita out of drinking. Among other things, they point out to her that look at all the great tzaddikim in history who did averus and yet they did tshuva. But also, we point out to her, like, look, you know, if you're guilty and you drink this stuff, you're going to blow up, etc. Well, if we're saying that it can be suspended for some time, for a year, 2 years, 3 years, then people aren't going to be as afraid of it anymore. And also, you're causing people to give a bad name. You're giving a bad name to toheres who do drink. People will say, yeah, they're really tamei, but they also had schus. But okay, they had a schus, so therefore that was toheres for them. Rebbe says, has schus toheres of mayim amarim? No, like we said before, the schus a schus will suspend the punishment of mayim amarim, but the eni yeledes, she won't. From then on, give birth. She won't improve in health. She'll be deteriorating gradually. The Rambam says she'll get all kinds of sicknesses, etc. Right. She will wind up dying the death of the soifah. In the end, there will be the subsidization of enough for yurecha. We learned in the first parak two different the understanding of our Mishnah is are there three different opinions over here that the Tanakhama or the previous Mishnah is saying nothing at all happens to her until the year, 2 years, 3 years are up and all of a sudden poof, or is it Rebbe is saying that she gradually deteriorates and then at the end of the two or three years poof, or is it Rav Shimon that there's no schus at all? It's either immediate poof or nothing. That's one way of looking at it. The other way is that Rebbe and the Chachamim from the previous Mishnah are not arguing. He's explaining the shita of the Chachamim. He only have two possibilities then. Either the schus is not toila, or the schus is toila, but she deteriorates. Incidentally, by the way, the Rambam writes that the woman who is tahor, who drinks the soita water, her health will strengthen. And so besides the bracha of children, which we'll talk about in the next parak, which we'll talk about, the nix of an Israel Azara, the bracha that says you have the machlokes tanoim, whether if she didn't have children before, whether she'll have children, or is it only that if she had ugly children, she'll have beautiful children, etc. But that's all mentioned in the pasuk. Rambam adds this idea that she also her health strengthens, and if she had any sicknesses, they go away. Before she said it, Rambam learned that by implication of our Mishnah. If we're saying according to Rebbe, and the Rambam brings that in Yad HaChazaka, that this is how it works, even though incidentally in Pirush HaMishnayos he doesn't. In Pirush HaMishnayos, actually, the Rambam says this is one of the things that the Eved determines how it can happen. It's not really shayach to say who the halacha is like. But in Yad HaChazaka he does bring Rebbe's shita. The Pashtus, because he's allowed to change his mind, but the Pashtus, because to deal with Rav Shimon's objection. This way, nobody's going to say that, there's not going to be madat at the maim or moiti at the shemra, because she is going to start deteriorating. She's not going to have that health and strength and whatever that she would have if she was tahor. Therefore, people will realize right away that something is wrong over here. Okay, she has a schus, fine, but... So by implication, especially because we said before, you know, we learned in the first parak, midah tov merubah, that the Eved's midah of good is greater than the midah of bad. So therefore, if we're saying that when she's tamei, it'll make her gradually lose her health and deteriorate. So if she's she's taller, then necessarily it has to be the other way around that her health will strengthen. Mishnah continues. Nitmas minchasa ad shalei kodesh b'kli. If her mincha became tamei before it became kodesh, before it was placed in the kli sharis. Remember, we learned earlier that first it's placed in a basket and then afterwards it's transferred to a kli sharis. So up until that point, it only has kedusha dami. It's only that its value has kedusha. Therefore, harei kafalam anachas b'tipodeh. So it's like any other korban mincha, and you can be podeh. You pay the money, you pay the value of it to hekdesh, and the flour becomes cholin. The imish kodesh b'kli, if it became tomei after it became kodesh in the keli, arei kacholam anachos, then it's just, again, just like any other mincha, v'kisaref, and then it has to be burnt, because at that point it has kedushas aguf. And once it has kedushas aguf, you can't be poyded anymore. The first thing to talk about why the Mishnah has to mention in both cases that it's like all the other menachos. In the first case, because you might think since it only consists of dried flour, there's nothing else, you don't have to mix flour, you don't mix oil or levoina or whatever into it, and you might think maybe it gets kedushas aguf as soon as you put it in the original basket, as soon as you designate it as a mincha, because there's nothing else that needs to be done. No, only when it gets into a kli joris. And the other way around, because you might think, okay, maybe it has a lower level of kedusha than other menachos, again, because no shemen, no levoina. No, we're told it has the same kedusha that goes as any other mincha. This is the mission of Eilu Shemin Chesein Nitzroth. So it's the following women's menachos are burnt. Burnt not on the mizbeach, in other words, but they're burnt as on the pile of ashes, they're disposed of and burnt. Ha'imedef t'mei anilach. Number one, if the woman says, I'm tamei, which, as we said before, that at any time during the procedure she says she's tamei, then we right away stop everything right there. Shabola edim shitmeya, or if edim came that she's tamei. Vayemeres eni shoisa, also if she says, I'm not going to drink, which we learned before, that up until, we have the different opinions over there, until the Megillah is erased, or until the Koimetz is brought, as a case, maybe she has the right to say, I won't drink, without actually admitting guilt, and we won't force her or anything. She will lose her ksuba, and she will also get divorced and lose her ksuba, because the equivalent of saying, I'm Tommy, but she doesn't actually say the words, I'm Tommy. But yeah.
Why would she say, yes, ma'am?
Maybe, okay, one difference is she may not know up until what point she can say any shoisa versus everyone else. But besides that also, I don't know, you have some people who are more embarrassed about it, and, you know, they'd rather just say any shoisa rather than saying outright, and you have some people, you know what, I want to do full tshuva, and I better admit it. V'shabayla ba'alel baderech, another one is if her husband had relations with her on the way, which we learned before then, that in that case the water is not boded her, so therefore at that point you can't do the whole sota procedure anymore. Which brings Tosfos into, I skipped one. V'shabayla enu roitza lashkoisa, that if her husband doesn't want to give her to drink, v'shabayla ba'alel baderech, or if her husband had relations with her on the way. Couple of things about these. First of all, the husband had relations with her on the way. Tosfos asks over here that that happened before the mincha ever got into a kli shoris. So why don't we say that it got into a kli shoris? Basically, it got in there by mistake. So therefore, it shouldn't have kedusha. It should be like hektish betos, as we learned about in Nazir. And Tosfos discusses the difference that, for example, when there's edim, when there are edim, you could say that you don't need the meisota at all. It's clear that she's tamei. When baila bala abadera, theoretically, you do still need the meisota. They're just not going to work because now her husband is not menuchah malvin. So it's a difference. There's a difference between whether the meisota are b'chlam needed, which they're not in the case if there are edim, because then we don't need it to be mivar or anything, versus with, in principle, they're needed. We kind of don't know whether he's Tommy or not, but they won't work because the husband is not Menuchah Melvin. As far as the Shabbayla Eini Roitza Lashkoisa, so Rabbi Akiva Eger quotes references over here in Gilead Nashat, references of Tosfos in Yevamos that explains that what we learn from our Mishnah is that if the husband, the Gemara mentions over there, and Tosfos says that the Gemara gets it from our Mishnah, that if the husband says, I don't want to give her to drink, then he can't, that's it, he can't change his mind.
He has to
say
it to the
court. No, he says it to the base, whoever he says, if he says it to somebody official, I guess, but he can't change his mind, that's irreversible. So why not? There's a couple of different interesting ideas that the Forshim gives. Minchas Chinuch says, given this idea, if the husband has to be menuchah me'oven, if he says, I don't want to give her a drink, that's the equivalent of him saying, I'm Tommy, I'm not Menuchah Malvin, and therefore I know it's not going to work. So therefore, once he said that, he's Neman al-Atma, we can believe him on himself, that he's saying that I'm not Menuchah Malvin, and therefore nothing doing. Okay, but there's different levels of Menuchah Malvin, I mean, he's not outright. Since she can't drink the Meisota, any case which she can't drink the Meisota, then he has to divorce her, yeah. A couple of other possibilities they mention is that the different Mephoshim talk about. One of them is that if he says Ein Roitza Lashkoita is the equivalent basically of saying I'm loichol on the Shavua, I'm not going to require you to take a Shavua. And there's a halacha, if Reuven is chayav to Shimon a Shavua, for whatever reason, by doing mitzvahs or whatever, all the various other cases where a person is chayav Shavua, and Shimon says, you know what, I'm loichol it, you don't even need a kinyan for it. Once he says that, that's it, he's loichol. Same thing over here. Once the husband says that, he's noisal on the shuur. No shuur, no meisaita. He's going to have to divorce her, but at least, yeah, he wants her to live, I guess, yeah. No, if he says I don't want to give her a drink, lot after she would lose her ksuba, because she could have drank the meisaita and then been found innocent, and then, yeah. So we learned before in the first Torah that we said that we had two different opinions whether it's a good thing for a man to be mekaneh or not. The Rambam actually says that it's a good thing, the mitzvah of tzibur chachamim, that a man should be mekaneh for his wife. Here we're talking about a slightly different thing. Is it a mitzvah for him to give her the meisaita? There are different rishonim and achronim talk about that as well. Whether it's a chova on him that once she's in a situation of a soda, once there's been kinyan seder, he has an obligation to give her the meisaita, or is it rishus?
The halacha is what?
I don't think it's specifically paskin one way or the other. I don't know. Okay, another example, the Mishnah says, V'cholam suris l'koyinim, any woman who's married to a koyin, mincha sein nitzrofis. In all these cases, the mincha is brewed. Why when she's married to a koyin? Hello? Because the pasuk says, V'chol minchas koyin kololti, any mincha of a koyin is completely brewed. In this case, her mincha is either outright considered her husband's, or at least Tosfos discusses the issue that it's kind of like a partnership between her and her husband. Her husband has a certain chelik in it, and therefore it gets burned. Tosfos ends up asking a question over there about that actually a mincha that's owned by partners can't be brought. A mincha can only be brought by one person. So if you were to say that the husband and wife are partners in the mincha, how can it be brought in the first place? And the Rogachev answers on it because a husband and wife are one unit. They're like one person, so it's not even considered like a shirkus. But so the point is the husband has a certain part ownership of it, therefore, yeah. Continues the Mishnah. Bat Yisrael shenitzes the koyin. If a Bat Yisrael is married to a koyin, minchas in his shefet, so her mincha will be burnt, because as we just said, a koyin mincha, or in this case, a koyin's wife's mincha, gets burnt. However, if a kehenes shenitzes the Yisrael, but a bas koyin who marries the Yisrael, minchas in echelos, then her mincha will be eaten. Now, what kind of mincha are we talking about? By the way, Rashi seems to be saying that we're talking about any mincha. We're not just talking about the mincha soita anymore. We're talking about any mincha, even a voluntary mincha, that a wife of a koyin or a daughter of a koyin, as the case may be, brings. So if it's the wife of a koyin, then her husband has a certain chelik in it, and therefore it gets burnt. If it's the daughter of a koyin married to Yisrael, then her husband is Yisrael, and therefore it can be eaten. Tosfos discusses that. Tosfos discusses that a bit, that not necessarily, you know, who says it should be talking about a minchas nedava? Was there any reason to think that her husband has any ownership of minchas nedava? Minchas sota mela. The husband has to provide the flour and it's brought to the mincha in connection with the whole sota ritual, but minchas nedava, why? That's machlokas Rashi. That's the Rogachev of Siddush. If we say that, fine. But even so, Minchas Nedava, we're talking about why should if the wife has assets of her own, then why is her Minchas Nedava necessarily considered to be any part of her husband?
Yeah.
But we said we learned in Ksubas that it's possible for a woman to have assets of her own. It's possible for her to get assets. It could be. She could have assets of her own. That we learned that someone can give her assets and say, I'm an ass that your husband doesn't have any interest in them. Okay. Anyway. Ma ben koyin l'kehenes. What are some of the differences in dinim between a male koyin and a female koyin? Number one, minchas kehenes nechelos. Minchas koyin ain't nechelos. So the mincha of a kehenes, meaning a bas koyin, can be eaten, as we just said, whereas the mincha of a koyin is not eaten. It's burnt. Another difference, kohenes mischalalos, a koyin and mischalo. A kohenes, a bas koyin, will become a chalala. If somebody who's also to marry, if somebody who's also love of a kohol, has relations with her, or a chalal, has relations with her, then he's mischalal her and makes her possible to ever marry a koyin. We learned about this in Yeravas. Or to eat truma, yeah. The koyin ain't mischalal, whereas a koyin does not get mischalal. Even if he marries a woman who's also to him, yes, as long as he's married to her, he's also to function as a kohen. But as soon as he divorces her or she dies, as the case may be, then he goes back to
even
in Avodah Zarah. We're not talking about Avodah Zarah. We're talking about as far as marriages or relations. So even if a kohen has relations with a woman who he's also to marry, once she's gone, once she's out of the picture, then he's back to being a kohen, as opposed to a kehenes would be mischalal permanently from then on.
Even a zayin.
That's what we're saying. As long as he's married to her, he's also to function as a kohen. He can't do kohen, he can't serve in the mishmetesh, he can't eat shroma, etc. What? His children will be halalim. Kehenes mitamalamaisim. Another difference is that a kehenes, a bas kohen or wife of a kohen, can become tamimes. They ain't kohen mitamalamaisim, but a kohen, a male kohen, cannot. All these things we're going to bring psukim in the Gemara to give the source for them. Which, by the way, there's a bit of discussion in Rishonim. Given that we're saying that a kohen is not allowed to become tamimes, but he is supposed to become tamim for his relatives, and we learned in Yevamos that it's actually a mitzvah on him. So if we're saying a woman that a bas kohen or eshes kohen does not have the same issur to become tamim lames, does that mean she doesn't also have the same mitzvah to become tamim for her relatives? So Machlok is showing on that, and in Shulchan Aruch Paskins that she does have a mitzvah. The Rambam, I believe, holds that she doesn't, but in Shulchan Aruch Paskins that she does. To be involved in the funeral if one of her parents or children or siblings or what have you dies, if we say that she's required to, that she's required to. If we say that it's Rishus, then it's Rishus. Going to Leviah, yeah.
Yeah,
means other relatives other than the seven relatives or mes mitzvah, yeah. Another difference, kohen ochel kotcher kotchim, vein kahenes echelis kotcher kotchim, only a male kohen can eat kotcher kotchim, chatas, osham, menachos, etc., or kahenes cannot. Now more generally, any kohen, even if he's a baal mum, actually, he's allowed to eat kotchim. He's not allowed to, if he's a baal mum, he can't serve in the business. I'm going to say any kohen, I mean, not if he was over there, any kosher kohen, yeah, not if he was over there, but whatever, yeah, but any, not if he's tummy, etc., yeah. Ma ben ishlish. So since now we talked about some differences between male and female kohenim, which these aren't all the differences, there are others, but okay, son of a shire. Tosfos on Amud Beis mentioned some other examples of the set that the mentioned some other examples. Ma ben ishlish. What are some of the differences in halacha between men and women? Number one, a man who is a mitzora has to pereya. He grows his hair long. He can't cut his hair. And podim, he tears his clothes like an oval. But a woman does not. She has the same dinim of peras as a man, but she doesn't grow her hair long in avelos, and she doesn't tear her clothes.
Then Miriam didn't.
I guess not. I wasn't there. I don't know. Ha'ish Madir, another difference, Ha'ish Madir is B'nai B'Nazir, a man, as we learned in Nazir, has the ability to declare his son below Bar Mitzvah age of Nazir, and that's Chal. We talked about, is it Chal for forever, is it only Chal to Bar Mitzvah, but whatever, it is Chal. Then Ha'ish Madir is B'nai B'Nazir, but a woman does not have that ability. Ha'ish Megaleach on Nazirus Aviv, a man can shave and bring his Korbanos of Nazirus using the money that his father set aside, so we talked about this also a lot. In Nazir, we have a case over there where a man was a Nazir, and he died, he had money set aside for his Korbanos, and then he died. His son has the ability to use that money for his own Korbanos. We talk about the different possibilities over there. Was the son a Nazir while the father was alive, or did he become a Nazir only afterwards? Are we talking more Stumim, where the money is unspecified which Korban it's for, or for Russian? We got into all that there. But a woman cannot do that. Even if her father was a Nazir, she can't use his money that he left over in the estate for her korbanos. Ha'ish mekadesh his bita. A man has the ability to be mekadesh his daughter, which is a kana or a naira. He can accept kedushin on her behalf. And Rashi says even shalom yudaita, even without her knowledge. Yeah, we'll have much more about it in kedushin in a few months' time. That's Hashem. But a woman does not have that ability. Midrabanan, we learned in Yevamos, she does, that Midrabanan, you have a Yisoma can be married off by her mother or her brother, is in order that otherwise she's going to be left unmarried, and who knows what may happen to her, but that's why we had the whole concept of Miyun over there, that the Chum said, that she's able at any time to say, I want out. Yeah. A man has the ability to sell his daughter as a maidservant, but a woman does not have that ability to sell her daughter as an alma hivriya. Ha'ish niskal aroim, a man is, if he's given skila, is given skila without his clothes, as we learned in the first parak, they strip him of his clothes and put on him just a loincloth to cover him in front. But a woman who's given skila is not like that. She's wearing one piece of clothing, one long shirt. We learned in the first parak that this is not everybody agrees to this. Rabbi Yehuda holds that a woman is also in a skila sadruma. They just cover her in front and in back. But the halacha is like a chacham, that a woman is stoned with clothes. Ha'ish nitla, a man is hanged. Ve'ina ish nitla, a woman is not. This is talking about, we're not talking about, you have the Dalet Mitzvah space, and hanging is not one of them, but the Torah mentions, in Parshas Kisei, v'chiyah v'ish chet mishpat moves, v'humas, v'solisa oizaleitz. What happens is, that certain people who are executed by Beis Din are then afterwards, their body is hanged from a tree. The Gemara in Sanhedrin explains, first of all, it's only for people who got skila. It's machlokas tanoim over there in the Mishnah, whether it's anybody who got skila or whether it's only certain averes. The halacha is it's only certain averes, only megadif, somebody who cursed the Eidishter, or an Ovid Avodah Zarah. And second of all, there's also machlokas tanoim over there, whether it's men and women or only men. Our Mishnah is going according to the opinion, which is the halacha, that it's only men. The way the Mishnah describes over there, what they do is after the person has been given skila, right? They're already dead. They take the body, they tie the two hands together, hang them by their hands momentarily close to shkia, and then take them down before shkia. The Torah says, "Lo sol nivlos ala eitz." The body is not allowed to be left there overnight, so they would take them down before shkia, right before shkia, and bury him. And last one, a man is sold if he stole. If a man stole and he doesn't have a man stole and he doesn't have enough to pay back for the theft, then he can be sold as an eved ivri. But a woman is not. And again, Tosfos on Amud points out a bunch of other things that the Tosefta mentions. Things, for example, we learned in Nazir a great deal about that a man has a mitzvah not to shave his peis or the corners of his beard. A woman does not. A man can be a ben sotah or a murderer. A woman cannot. There are a lot of differences. The Gemara says Tana Rabbanan. The general rule is any woman married to a kohen mincha sein nisrofes, and their mincha will be burnt. And again, we're talking, according to Rashi, whether we're talking about Minchas Soita or Minchas Nedava. Kesad, what do we mean? Kehenes Levi of Yisraelis Shenisus L'Koyen, whether it's a Bas Koyen or a Bas Levi, a Bas Yisrael, who's married to a Koyen, Ein Minchas Nechelis, so her Mincha cannot be eaten, but Nesha Yeshloi Chelikwa, because he, her husband, has a share in it. According to Rashi, it's any mincha, it's always coming for her kapara. So therefore, he has a share in it. The ina ola kolom nesha yesh loch chelik ba, but it can't be. It's partly his because it's brought out of his money, out of his assets. But it's partly hers, nesha yesh loch chelik ba, because she has a portion in it, because it's for her kapara. On the other hand, so what do we do? Now, so usually what would happen is like this. If it was a full-fledged Minchas Yisrael, not a Minchas Kohen, then you would take a Kohen from it, burn it on the Mizbeach, and the rest of it is eaten by the Kohen. If it's a full-fledged Minchas Kohen, so a male Kohen is bringing it, no Kmitza is done at all, the whole thing is burnt on the Mizbeach. Now that it's a wife of a Kohen, now that it's a half-half, so what do we do? Ela ha-Kohenetz Kodav la'atzmai, ba'atzmai, v'ashirayim kreven ba'atzman. So what do? We do take a Kohenetz of it. The Kohenetz is burned on the Mizbeach by itself. And then the Shirayim, the rest of the Kohenetz, is burned on the Mizbeach separately. So you don't just put it all on the Mizbeach like you would a Minchas Kohen. You don't put only the Kohenetz but eat the rest like a Minchas Yisrael. Rather, you burn them both, but say you one after the other. Yeah. How could that be? Ikrikan, why shouldn't, don't we apply the pasuk over here, koshu mimenu le'ishim harei v'bal taktiru? That, now the pasuk says like this, the pasuk, Rashi quotes the pasuk, ki chosa er v'chol dvash le'chaktiru mimenu ishe l'ashem, we say it every morning in davening. Now, the pasuk didn't have to say the word mimenu. Ki chosa er v'chol dvash le'chaktiru ishe l'ashem, what's mimenu? From mimenu we learn an extra thing. We learn that anything, mimenu means from it. So it means, besides the iser to bring sa'or or dvash as a korban on the mizbeach, besides that, there's another mitzvah implied in this pasuk. Anything which part of it is supposed to be offered on the mizbeach, and the rest of it is supposed to be eaten, there's an iser to take those parts that are supposed to be eaten and burn them on the mizbeach. Koshim mimenu la'ishim, anything where some of it, mimenu, is supposed to be put on the fire, then there's an iser in the turtle, lo taktiru mimenu. You're not allowed to burn. So for example, shlomim, let's say, part of it is supposed to be burned on the Mizbeach, the rest is supposed to be eaten by the kohenim and the owners. If you were to take the pieces of the shlomim and burn them on the Mizbeach as part of the korban, you'd be over on this iser. So over here, when we're talking about a mincha, fine, let's say, you know, part of it is the bas kohen, not the bas kohen, the ishis kohen, part of it belongs to her husband, the kohen. Fine, but after all, I mean, if we're saying that we're kind of not sure, or like there's a mixture over here, sort of part regular mincha and part not. Why are we saying that you take the shirayim and burn it on the mizbeach? How could you say that's the safe thing to do? You're being over on the mizbeach, bal taktiru. The answer is Omer Yehuda Breder of Shimon ben Pazi, demasik lul l'shem eitzim. Fine, but you know what you do? You take the shirayim and you burn it on the mizbeach as firewood. What does that mean? So Rashi says you make a condition on it. You say, look, we don't know what the story is with this Kohen Mincha. Are we supposed to be burning all of it? Is it supposed to be that the Kohenim eat most of it? Because we're not sure, what we're going to do is we're going to burn the rest of this on Azbech. If it's supposed to be burned like a Minchas Kohen, good. If not, then we're saying we're not burning it as a Kohen, but rather we're burning it as firewood, just to keep the fire going. And that's allowed. Just discuss this a little bit, that lav dafka, I mean, we're not really talking about this. It's not really a suffix over here. It's more a matter of like a sort of like you have a mixture of a valid carbon and a non-valid carbon. But okay.
The question is, it should go to the fire?
So that's the thing. It goes on the fire, but either way, it's being burnt the same way. But the difference is what you have in mind. Are you having in mind that you're bringing it as a carbon, that you'd be over on Baltatiru? Or are you bringing it as firewood and that's allowed? Here, Rabbi Eliezer, as Rabbi Eliezer says, the Tanya Rabbi Eliezer, remember, when the pasuk finishes, the pasuk says over there, the previous pasuk says that the next pasuk says that the sir and vash korban reishis takrivoy to Hashem, you bring them as first fruits offering to Hashem, namely sir the shteilechem, which are brought on Shavuos. Which is reishis in the sense that it's the first time that the crops of that year are used for korbanos in the Beis Hamikdash. The chadash you're allowed to eat from when the owner is brought on the second day of Pesach, but to use it from menachas you're not supposed to until the shteilechem are brought. So the reishis in that sense, and devash the sweetness of fruit is brought as bikurim. But the pasuk continues, they should not go onto the mizbeach for a sweet smell for Hashem. So Rabbi Eliezer says, why does it have to mention the Reach Nechayach? It means, Reach Nechayach Hi Atamala, you are not allowed to burn them on the Mizbeach for Reach Nechayach, Aval Atamala Leil, B'Shem Eitzim, but you are allowed to burn them on the Mizbeach as firewood. That's what we're just saying. In other words, Rashi explains that in Zvachim, where does this come up? In Zvachim, the Gemara discusses an issue over there. Suppose you have pieces of chatas that got mixed up with pieces of oil. The pieces of oil are supposed to be burnt on the mizbeach, pieces of chatas are supposed to be eaten by the kohenim. You don't know which is which now. What are you supposed to do? So Rabbi Eliezer says what you do is you burn them all on the mizbeach. What you do is basically, again, you say whichever ones are the oil, fine, they're supposed to go on the mizbeach. Whichever ones are not an oil, we're putting on as firewood. Whereas the Chachamim say that doesn't work. They don't believe in this concept of Atamal Leil L'Shem Eitzim. They don't learn that Zerosha. Therefore, they say what you're going to have to do is you're going to have to wait until all of them become possible by being left overnight until they become possible to burn them on his back, and then you'll take them out to the Beit Hadesh and burn them there. So again, Rabbi Eliezer is saying that anything that is not supposed to be brought, it's true that if we knew this piece was from the chatas, you would not be allowed to bring it up l'zeach. You'd have me menu l'shim. But because you don't know, then therefore you can bring it up l'shem eitzim. You can bring it up as firewood. Okay, bring my ass on Nichol Rabbi Eliezer. This my high svara. Fine, then very well. What we're saying over here that in the case of this mincha of the mincha of the wife of a kohen, we're saying that you're going to take the shirayim and burn it separately in the mizbeach. Very well. That works out very nicely according to Rabbi Eliezer. El Rabbanon the less low high svara my islamimer. According to the Rabbanon my islamimer, what are you going to say according to them? The answer is the Avi Lehukr Rabbi Eliezer Rabbi Shimon. According to the Chachamim, they would say rather that you do like what Rabbi Elazar ben Shimon says. Rabbi Elazar ben Shimon discusses the issue, what happens, there's a case we've talked about many times before called Korban Olav Yerid, certain Averis, where you have to bring a chatas, but not a regular chatas, which consists always of a sheep, a female sheep, or a goat, but rather a chatas whose value of it depends how much you can afford. If you can afford, then it's a sheep or a goat. If you can't afford that, you're poorer. Then you bring two birds, one for a chatas, one for an oila. If you can't even bring that, you bring a korban mincha, and that korban mincha, like the korban of the sota, as we learned at the beginning of the previous parak, does not have no oil, no levona, because we said shaloyeh. We said even though you would think shaloyeh chota nisko, you don't want the guy to be gaining, but you also don't want his korban to look beautiful. So what happens, therefore, so in Menachos it talks about what happens if you have a Kohen who's bringing such a carbon. So on the one hand, one way of looking at it is, okay, it's a mincha of a Kohen, so therefore we should ruin it like any other carbon. The other way of looking at it is that the pasuk is v'hoisal a Kohen ka mincha, that it should be for the Kohen like a mincha. So what does that mean? Is it like any other mincha of a Kohen, or is it like any other mincha of a Yisrael? So you could argue it's coming as a substitute for what would usually have been an animal or bird, so maybe it doesn't have the regular dinim of a mincha. In this case, the mincha of a Kohen. So actually, Rabbi Elazar ben Shimon explains over there that actually you have it's a little bit of both. Therefore, that what you do is you burn the kohen on the mizbeach like a regular person's mincha. And then what you do is the shirayim, instead of burning them on the mizbeach, you scatter them on the beis hadeshen. As we said the other day, by the mincha, by the soitos mincha, you burn them on the beis hadeshen, not on the mizbeach, but you burn them elsewhere in the azara, and you scatter them on that pile over there. So therefore, so that's what you do over here also in the case of the kohen's wife's mincha. So again, according to Rabbi Eliezer, you would bring the kohen. And then you bring the shirai and l'shem etzim. According to the chachamim, what you do is you do like what Rabbi Elazar ben Shimon says, that you burn the kohen on the mizbeach and the shirayim get disposed of. The shirayim get disposed of on the beis hadeshen. Now, what about you argue that's only according to Rabbi Elazar ben Shimon? No. Even the Rabbanan are only arguing over there because we're talking about it's minchas chote of a kohen, the basak rabbi, where after all, They figure it is really meant to be brought as a korban. They argue over there that it is that they argue over there that it is brought as a mincha as a regular mincha tzoy, and the whole thing is burned on a mizbeach. Aba b'ha, but in our case over here, where after all you have the suffix, does it really belong to him or does it really belong to her? According to Rashi again, we're talking any case of a kohen's wife's mincha, whether it's a mincha tzoy or any case. So then, Abba Baha, in this case over here, since you can't be makir of it because of that suffix, after the Rabbanan Modu, then fine, even the Rabbanan will have to agree with the Rabbi Elazar ben Shimon that that's the way to go. So that's the maskana, therefore, that when it comes to a Kohen's wife's mincha, we're saying that, according to Rashi, regardless whether it's a mincha sota or any other mincha, the Rambam doesn't specify, so it seems he holds the same way. According to Tosfos, we're talking only a mincha sota. According to Rabbi Eliezer, which is the halacha, The koymets will be brought and the shirayim will be brought, both of them as beach, separately, one as a koymets, one as l'shem etzim, as firewood. And according to the chachamim, they would say that the koymets goes on the mizbeach, the shirayim go on the beis hadeshen.
Why the halacha is then like Rabbi Eliezer?
Actually, sorry, the halacha is like Rabbi Eliezer in the usual case, that abu matim alei l'shem etzim. In this case over here, the halacha is like a chachamim, that mispaz you not beis hadeshen, that it is gedeach. Then the Mishnah said Bas Yisrael Hanasua Chola. So then the Mishnah starts going through all the various differences between a Bas Kohen and a Bas Yisrael. One of them is, we said that if a Bas Yisrael is married to a Kohen, then her mincha is not eaten. My timer. Da'amah Kravachol Minchas Kohen Kolo Piyo Loisa Ochol. Because the Pasuk says any mincha of a Kohen is completely burnt, it should not be eaten, which implies Kohen, the like Kohenes. So only a Kohen, not a Kohenes. So therefore, that's what got us into this discussion now, what we do with a kohenes mincha. Then we said another difference was kohenes mischalelas kohen mischalo, that a kohenes becomes a chalala if she had relations with somebody who was also to her, whereas a kohen is not. Menalon, where do we know this? Amakrov lo yichalo zare ba'amav, because the pasuk says he should not cause his children to be mechulo, to become chalalim among his people. Which actually, Rashi says, we learn from the expression, lo yechalel, teaches us that there's actually two chilulim involved over here. When a kohen has relations with a woman that he's also to, a chalala, a zoyna, a grusha, whatever, a monofer, a kohen god, or whatever, two things get accomplished. Number one, the woman herself becomes a chalala, becomes posel the kohen from then on, and posel the yitzhak and so forth. And number two, the children become chalalim.
He stays a kohen,
that's the point. That's the point. It's not fair to a mamzer that he's a mamzer either. You know, I mean, the Zohar says, you know, we're eating a kashrut to him. It's not fair. It's not their fault. But that's how they arrange things in the world. Yeah. Anyway, so v'lo yichalol zarei ba'amo, which implies zarei mischalol, his children become chalolim, v'hu ein mischalol, but he does not become a chalol.
The children of a chalol, are they not kohanim?
No, we're saying the children of a kohen, the children of a kohen who married a woman who also came, become chalolim.
Right.
Yeah, and the status of chalol goes down through the generations. Then another thing we said was kohenes mitama chola. Kohenes can become tom and mes, a kohen cannot. My timer. Drama kro emer la kohen bnei Aaron. The pasuk says, speak to the kohenim, the sons of Aaron, which was bnei Aaron, was bnei Aaron. So that's the sons of Aaron, not the daughters of Aaron. So not the daughter of the wife or the wife of a kohen. The pasuk says clearly, called Zochar b'nei Aaron yechlana. By each of the kodesh kodeshim, the pasuk uses the expression, any male of the sons of Aaron can eat them. So not the women. Then the Mishnah had started with a list of ma'ben ishchola. What the difference is in general in halacha between men and women. So the first one we said was the difference with a metzora, that a man, that a male metzora has to let his hair grow long and tear his clothes. A woman does not. Turn it up, Lanan. Ish, when the pasuk says ish tsaruahu, he's a man who has tsaras. Ein li ela ish, so you would think this din only applies to a man. Ishim inayin, how do we know b'chlal that the dinim of tsaras, specifically actually Rashi says the dinim of nefek, apply to a woman? Nefek is the tsaras in the hairy areas of the body, and the hair on the scalp or on the beard. How do we know that those apply to women? Shu'oim of tsaruah shaboy, well, the pasuk continues, the tsarua, the mitzora, in whom there is tsaras, harei kan shnayim. So the implication is it means both men and women. In pen, matam alamim ish. So what is it? So why does the pasuk start by saying ish tsaruahu le'inyan shalamata? It means it's referring to what the pasuk continues saying. Ish perechu lo, that the pasuk says ish tsaruahu tamayu, and then the pasuk continues that the tsarua should grow his hair long and tear his clothes. But those things, where the point is by saying ish tsaruahu, the pasuk is mamayik that they don't apply to women. Is an idea that one of them.
The word
applies to both of them, but the fact that the Torah before that, the Torah starts off ish, implies that something of what we're talking about in the future only applies to men, not to women, namely the prio prima. One of the Mephoshim, I don't remember which one now, talks about the idea that basically what's the reason b'chlal, why a Mephoshim needs to grow his hair and tear his clothes, is as a sign of avelus. So the tumah dinim of tsaras apply equally to men and women, but the avelus dinim apply only to men, not to women. Maybe because it's years, there's a chassid ultimately. But another thing that comes up in that regard is in Moed Katan, the Gemara had discussed over there that a mitzora is not allowed to send korbanos to the Bais Mikdash while he's a mitzora. He can't send a korban; he has to bring a korban. He can't send it with somebody else as long as he's a mitzora. But a woman can. That's also based on this. If we say that not based on the mirror from the pasuk, but if we say that the idea is a man has the dinim of prio prima because he's an oval, not so much because of tumah, but because of avelus, whereas a woman doesn't, well then, the not sending his korban is also related to the dinim of avelus, because an oval can't send his korbanos either. Okay. Then we said ha'ish madras b'nei b'nazir v'ein ha'ish madras b'nei b'nazir, that a man has the ability to declare his son a nazir, a woman does not. Why is that? I'm going to be echad halacha ibn Nazir. We learned about this in Nazir. That is a halacha l'moshe v'sinai. It's just how it is. We talked over there a lot about the whole business about how did Shmuel become a Nazir by according to the opinion that he was by Chana declaring that if she has a son she'll make him a Nazir. How does that work? How does it work? A Shimshin where the Malach declared him a Nazir. We talked about at the end of Nazir in the Siyum over there. We talked about a Sicha where the Rebbe explains that Chana didn't have the ability la halacha to declare him a Nazir. Only his father does, as we're saying over here. She made the original neder. Therefore, so she and her husband Elkanah were mechanech in that way. When he was bar mitzvah, he voluntarily accepted that I'm going to continue doing that, and therefore it's considered retroactively all the way back to the beginning when he was born. Same thing with Shimshon. We said our Ishma Galayach al Mezuzah Alzer, that a man is able to use the money that his father left over for his Korbanos Nazir, is able to use it for his own Korbanos Nazir. Ve'ena Ishma Galayach al Mezuzah Saviya, that a woman cannot. Again, I'm going to be echad halacha ibn Nazir. Same thing, it's halacha l'moshe v'sinai. It's just the way it is. A man has the ability to be Mekadesh his daughter, a woman to accept Kedushin on her behalf, a woman does not. Why? Because the Pasuk says, that is the case of Moshe Shemra, where a husband is accusing his wife of being unfaithful, that when it comes to Beis Din, the father comes and he says, I gave my daughter to this man. So we learn from that that the father has that ability. He doesn't say anything about the mother saying it, so therefore she doesn't. A man is able to sell his daughter as an Amah Hivriya, a woman cannot. Just if Kiyim Kurkish is bitter, because the Pasuk says if a man sells his daughter. We say that a man is stoned without his clothes, a woman not. My timer. Why? Because the Pasuk says, Rogmu Oisei. The Pasuk says they should stone him. Now, my Oisei, what do you mean him? Ilema Oisei, Veloi Oisei. Does it mean only men are subject to skill of women or not? No, a different pasuk says that talking about people who worship Avodah Zarah, you take out that man or that woman and you stone them. So you see that, but that women are in general. The general rule actually is that in general, women are on the same level as men as far as Kol Einshin Shel HaTorah, as far as all the loisa says and all the penalties in the Torah, women and men are on an equal level, except for the couple. The Torah is mentioned over here about the Baal Takis, that the women are allowed to shave their payas, their facial hair if they have any, they're allowed to become Tom and Mess. Other than that, all loisa says that apply to men apply to women.
Different.
Different mitzvah. Okay, she gets safer instead of chenek. Okay, fine. But yeah. Bas toyin. The pasuk says in emor, bas toyin kiseich aluzner. So bas toyin is mezana. Then instead of the usual penalty, skill or chenek, as the case may be, she gets safer. The Gemara actually discusses at some length in Sanhedrin, the machlokes tanoim over there, what the circumstances is where she gets safer. Is it in any case? Where normally she would have gotten chenek, she gets upgraded to skila, basically, to strefa, or is it even in a case where she's a naira hamayrasa, or ordinarily she gets skila, and then she gets downgraded to strefa? That's also the machlokes over there of Shimon and the Chachamim in a number of places in Sanhedrin, which one is the harsher punishment anyway, skila or strefa? Whatever. When we learn Sanhedrin in a couple of years' time, Be'ez Hashem, we'll get into this. Anyway, going back to our Gemara over here, so the pasuk clearly says that both men and women are subject to skila. So it must mean Oisai. Mean when it says Oisai, him means Veloy Ksusa, it means only him without his clothing. As opposed to not her without her clothing, so there's no mirror for her of her clothing, and therefore she's stoned with it. And we learned in the first paragraph, Rabbi Yehuda holds otherwise, and we discussed the different pros and cons over there, that the Chachamim are also concerned about the possibility of hearing her, that other people are going to see her and start having Machshavas Zoras, whereas Rabbi Yehuda is not concerned about that because she's going to be killed anyway. We said another difference is that men are given the tliya in certain cases after skila, they're hanged on a tree, not women. And again, that's Machlokes Tanoim over there in the Mishnah. Sanhedrin, but the halacha is like this. That's only men. What?
Yes.
My time, why? I'm a prophet. So this is Oisai. I like the positive. You should hang him on the tree. Oisai, again, Oisai. Velo Oisai. Him, not her. And the last one, Ha'ish Nimka B'Gnevasa, Ha'ish Nimka B'Gnevasa. A man is sold if he stole and doesn't have money to pay back. A woman not. My timer. I'm a crook. The positive is Nimka B'Gnevasa. He sold for his theft. Implying again, Bignevasa, if allowed Bignevasa, not for her theft. What? If she doesn't have the money to pay it back, then she owes it when if she ever gets money, then she'll have to pay it back.
But she's not sold.
Actually, the Gemara mentioned that actually there's a mission in Baba Hama, the Klal, that mentions that if a married woman commits a nezek, then she does right now, as a married woman, she doesn't necessarily have assets of her own. She could conceivably, like we talked about before, but not necessarily. Usually whatever she has is either nixin lug or nixin tzad barzol or whatever. So therefore, but it'll be that she owes it. If she ever is widowed or divorced, then she'll have to pay it off. Tosfos discusses over here a detail over here that also another difference in the dinim of an Eved Ivri versus an Amah Ivriya. An Eved Ivri, we learn at the beginning of Mishpatim, if he wants to stay past for 6 years, then he pierces his ear and he stays until Yovel. By a woman, there's no such thing. And in fact, the Tosfos points out that the two things go together. The Gemara discusses
it. She can use whatever she wants.
No. With an Amar Hevriya, the criteria are either of 6 years past, or a special thing by an Amar Hevriya, which is not by an Eved Ivri, is if she reaches puberty, or what else is there? If she's able to buy her own freedom, if she's able to, they figure out, they prorate the amount that was paid for her, and they prorate it against the number of years she's worked so far. Yovel also if the master dies. And finally, is her master or his son has the ability to be mekadesh her using the original money that was paid for her as an Amar Ivriya. Yeah, there's six or seven different ways that she's able to go free. But you don't have by her this concept that if she wants to stay past the 6 years, you pierce her ear. No, once 6 years are up, if the master or her son have not been miyayed her, have not been mekadesh her, then that's it. She has to go. The Tosfos points out these two things go together. We're going to learn in Kiddushin in a few months' time, Be'ez Hashem, that this whole concept of piercing the slave's ear only applies when he was sold by Beis Din. There can also be a case by a man where another way that a man is able to become an Eved Ivri is if he's poor, he has absolutely nothing, and therefore he sells himself as a slave. But in that case, the whole six-year thing and piercing the ear does not apply. It only applies to the case of somebody sold by Beis Din.
So what applies in that case?
Nothing. At the end of 6 years, he has to go. If he doesn't want to go, tough luck. You take it back. So therefore, the point is, therefore, that since a woman is never sold by Beis Din, as our Gemara is saying over here, therefore, automatically, the piercing the ear thing never applies to her either. Even though you would think, Tosfos says, maybe you would think her father is the equivalent of Beis Din in that regard, no. Hadron Allah Hayyabaita.